What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 222. All right, so today, after another week off, have something that I feel like is vital to your overall success, and it's something that so many of us are too prideful, too embarrassed, or just maybe too much ego to be able to let happen. And if this is you, I understand. It's been me. I fully take credit, responsibility for having those same thoughts, those same fears, maybe that same embarrassment. And it's a topic around failure. And I want to talk to you about a couple of different things that have happened here over the past couple of years that I feel like are really going to drive this point home. But more importantly, why it is so important to put yourself out there and fail. And I mean fail a lot, fail fast, but fail. Because if you're not, chances are you're not gaining any type of traction. You're not getting anywhere that you want to actually get to. So get out there. But speaking of failure, if you're out there buying like store-bought meat and you're buying that nasty stuff that, you know, sits in the meat counter for God knows how long, and then when you get it, maybe it's like they've seasoned it because they didn't want to show you like green meat. Or, you know, if you're out there buying this meat that is just like disgusting, you guys all know what I'm talking about. In fact, like if you've tried Crosso meats and then you compare that to some of that nastiness that you're getting in the grocery stores, you guys know there's no comparison, whether it's the way that it's raised, the way that, you know, the dry aging that we do, all of it, there's no comparison there. So if you haven't yet, or maybe if you haven't for a while, make sure go to CrossOmeats.com, CrossOmeats.com, get yourself some good meat. You don't want to fail when it comes to putting that amazing meat on the table. So again, go to crossomeats.com, get you some meat. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. As always, super excited to have you on board on this lovely, beautiful Friday, if you're listening to it as this episode comes out. So, yeah, I was out last week. Sorry about that. Had some club volleyball tournament action going on for my oldest daughter. And it's kind of made like everything a little more chaotic, as if it wasn't chaotic enough, because now, you know, with everything going on in the week, now we have club volleyball tournaments every weekend. So yeah, but I will be better in making sure that these get out. And even if I have to do these at 5 a.m. on Fridays, I will make sure they're out. Also, just kind of quick programming note, have some really good guests coming up. I know we've had a couple solo episodes, but with some of the craziness and chaos that's been going on, been a little bit harder to coordinate schedules for some guests, but actually have a couple of really, really good guests coming up. Two or three that I'm super excited about in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. So there you go. There's your programming note. So having said that, one of the things that, you know, and you all have been listening for a while, you'll hear me rail against social media because I think the reason why sometimes I have such a hard time with social media isn't because look, like there are a ton of great things, right? Like we've literally built our business with Crosso Meats on social media. So how hypocritical would it be for me to sit here and say it's all bad? But I think one of the things that makes social media so damaging and so toxic is that so much of what you see, it's, you know, it's like a funhouse world, right? It's not real. It's not completely fake. Usually it's more a distortion of reality, kind of like in a funhouse, right? Like you look in the mirror and all of a sudden you look like you're 2 feet tall and you're 4 feet wide. And it's like, okay, that's obviously not reality. Yes, that is me in the funhouse mirror, but that's not reality. So you understand that when you're in the funhouse world. Well, when you're in the social media world, you may not understand completely that it is distorted reality, right? And so then you end up kind of getting two things. You typically see people's highlight reels, which again, we're all guilty of this, right? Because I mean, if you see something really cool, you see that magical sunset, you're on vacation with your spouse or whatever, right? Like you're like, oh, let me snap a picture and put it on social media because this is really cool. And people do it out of like good intentions, right? You want to share that moment maybe with other people. But what ends up happening is that you don't see the failures typically, right? But then there's also like the other side of the highlight reel on social media is, and I remember like years and years and years ago, listening to someone talk in our, in the inner circle, Russell Brunson's inner circle. And someone was sharing about vulnerability and like, you need to be vulnerable with your audience because that is what allows them to connect with you. And so as some of these kind of scammy, and I'm not calling the people in the inner circle or whatever, but as some of these kind of scammy, spammy, you know, people online start figuring that out, they start going to this fake vulnerability. And it's like, oh, everything's a crisis and everything is like, please tell me how you feel so sorry for me and blah, blah, blah. Right. So then you get the other side of that. But what ends up happening, I feel like, is that us, as we consume social media, and even, you know, as little as I try to do that and everything else, like we all do, right? Like almost everybody I know, you have some form of social media. And even the people who hate it, I still see you, right? Like you're still pulling up your phone, looking at Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Like we all do it. It's part of our world. But what ends up happening when you see so much of the highlight reel, or you see so much of kind of the outcome, and you didn't see the journey, maybe it becomes really, really hard to accept failure. And that's really what I want to talk to you about in this episode, because what's happened, and I think this is going back, you know, like maybe a couple generations. And I know that people will talk about, you know, the everybody gets an award or the participation trophy generation and everything else. But what we've lost is how not only important, but really how vital failure is to success and to character. But when all you are seeing on social media, and maybe all you feel like you are seeing around you, are people crushing it and killing it, it can be very easy to let your ego and your pride and, you know, maybe kind of your embarrassment, potential embarrassment, get in the way from making mistakes. I tell you this because this is me. And it has been me for most of my life. Like, I would rather maybe not do something to my fullest potential because I don't want to fail and I don't want people to look at me and judge me and make fun of me, right? And that's not just me. I know tons of people who are that way. In fact, like, I don't feel like most of us necessarily are like inherently afraid to fail. Most of us, I feel like, we're afraid to be embarrassed because of what other people will think if we fail, right? And so that ends up holding us back from so many different opportunities and so much of our potential. Because rather than look stupid and fail every so often, we would rather feel like we're looking good and just not really doing much. And there's like so many examples, but there's three really that, because I've been kind of stewing on this, especially not having an episode last week, but there's three of them that really, really kind of hit home. So one of them is actually kind of funny. So a couple of years ago, it was like 2021. So like 3 years ago, Jess and I, you know, my wife and I, we decided to do this big Super Bowl offer for Crosso Meats, right? And it was, we dreamed it all out, and we you know, like, this is going to be so cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this Super Bowl offer, you know, with our meat, to where if you buy this special offer, you know, and we have 20 available or 30 available or whatever it was, that you're going to get, you know, I can't remember if it was like a brisket and like a tri-tip, but then you're also going to get, you know, one of these pre-made Super Bowl square boards, you know, that you can gamble on. And then you're also going to get like these Super Bowl napkins and these Super Bowl plates. And like, we put together this whole offer, and maybe some of you who've been following us for a while, maybe you remember this. Well, we put it out there, and it's like, we only have, I don't even remember, 20 or 30 or whatever it is available, 10. I can't remember. But you couldn't just buy like 10 of these plates or 10 of these napkins. The reason why it was limited was because of our meat inventory at that point. It had nothing to do with the plates or napkins. You had to buy those in like the 100 pack or whatever it was. So we go and we buy all this stuff, and we throw this offer out, and it's like crickets, right? And then I think we ended up having like two people buy, and chances are it's probably like my mom or something, you know? It's like nobody bought it. Huge failure, okay? So fast forward 3 years, and we have a few people over this year for Super Bowl. And, you know, of course, Jess is like, we still got these Super Bowl plates from 3 years ago because nobody bought our offer. And so we're like, might as well use them at Super Bowl. No one will probably notice or whatever. And then, you know, one of our friends are like, you know, what is these like from a few years ago or something like that. And Jess and I are just like, oh gosh, yes, this is kind of embarrassing. But yeah, so we did this like Super Bowl offer a few years ago that nobody bought. And so we ended up with like 200 plates. And so we've used those for every Super Bowl for the last 3 years. And it was just so funny, right? Because it was embarrassing, but this was more of like a lighthearted embarrassment. But there's like the ego in you that would want to be like, oh no, like, you know, we just got these, because it's so cool. Like you almost want to like protect yourself from that embarrassment. But one of the things that I've gotten better at, and I'm still not great at it at all. And I will fully admit it's because of my own ego, is admitting failure. Maybe admitting when you're wrong. And like, I've grown in the sense of like, at least now I can be like, okay, we failed at that. And when you get to that point in your life, whether you're 20 or if you're an old person like me and it takes you until you're into your 40s or whatever to figure that out, great. But if you figured it out, that's where the magic happens. And this was just like a small example, and it was a funny example, but it is like here 3 years later, we'll probably still be using those plates for another couple of years. So if you end up over at my house for Super Bowl, just know we're probably going to be using Super Bowl plates that were for the Super Bowl in like 2021. So there you go. But then another thing that hits a little bit closer to my ego is, you know, I do some work. Obviously, I work with a company called Aletha, and we had hired this agency to do all of our email marketing, and they did great. And I specifically kind of handpicked the agency, and they did awesome. And over time, it just kind of fell off, and there was probably partly for me to blame, partly for the agency to blame. But it ended up being like, hey, we're going to go, you know, kind of from the top of the company, like we're going to go a different direction with this agency. And my first, again, my ego, my pride, call it that, is like, no, this is a great company, great agency to work with. We should continue. And it's like, yeah, but this and that and this. And like, I wanted to be prideful over this because it was my hire and I almost felt like it was my mistake, my failure. And I didn't want maybe to admit that. And I had to like take a step back, take the emotion out of it and be like, okay, yes, let's go in the different direction. I see what you're saying. But I feel like 5 years ago, I probably would have really, really fought that. And I really, really would have taken that personal. But I've gotten better at understanding like, hey, this is business. It's a business decision. And so like, that's just yet another thing that I can look at and be like, I failed. But if I failed in that situation and maybe hiring this agency, what can I learn from it? How can I not make that mistake next time? And the last one is a little bit more of an emotional one that I want to run you through, because I think that this really kind of ties this home. Which is, and I'll probably do a post about it just because I think it's such a good message. Maybe y'all do, maybe y'all don't. But after one of the state playoff games that my daughter was in here a few weeks back, she comes off the court afterwards, and she had struggled in the game. You know, I've talked to you guys about it before, but she's young, she's playing up on varsity, and the pressure of the game just was too much for her. It overwhelmed her. She was just rattled. And again, like understandably so in a certain sense, right? But after the game, she comes up to me and she just buries her head in my chest and just starts bawling. And my wife took a picture of it, and I have that picture and it just breaks my heart, right? Because she failed. And as a parent, like you don't ever want your kids to fail. Like we again, kind of coming back to this whole participation trophy and everybody getting an award and everything else, like as a parent, no parent ever wants to see their kids fail. And I don't think like the whole participation trophy generation, like it's not their fault. It's not the kids' fault. It's us as parents, because we maybe care so much about our kids that we don't want to see them fail. And so even if they're terrible at soccer or whatever it is, we want them to get a trophy and feel good, right? We don't want them to feel like a failure. We don't want them to walk away without getting some reward or whatever. And I understand that wholeheartedly. That's why I a lot of times kind of stay away from that, because I don't agree with it. I'm anti-participation trophy, yet at the same time as a dad, I get it. I get why we want our kids to feel good, but it's breaking them, right? Like I really feel like those types of rewards for nothing essentially is what's killing our kids, right? Like that's what is getting these kids who become 25-year-old unemployable people, because they think just for showing up, they did something good. And that's not how life works, right? Like just showing up is not going to get you where you want to get to necessarily, right? Like got to put in the work, you got to get better, all of that. So anyways, you know, there's this picture and she just buries her head in my chest and she's just bawling, right? Just absolutely bawling, because she knows deep down, like I could tell her you did great, honey. I could tell her, oh, it's not your fault. You know, you're young, blah, blah, blah. Like I could tell her all of that, but the reality is that in that moment she failed. And it's not the worst thing that could happen to her, right? It's really not. In fact, it might be one of the best things that could happen. And so in this point of failure, like number one, and this is kind of what I told her, right? Is number one, you're in the game, right? Like you're in the fight. And it's impossible for you to fail if you're not in the game, if you're not in the fight, right? You won't fail if you stay on the bench. And it's the same way that it is in life. Like you won't fail if you never do anything. And if you feel like that is comfortable and that's going to be rewarding, go for it. But I'm here to tell you that I don't believe it will be, right? Like the way that you're going to progress is you have to be in the game, right? Metaphorically for this, her physically in a game, yes. But us in life, like it's impossible for us to fail if you're playing small and doing nothing, right? Like the only thing that you'll fail at is at life when you get to the end of it. That's the way I see it. If you play small, you're unwilling to fail. You're unwilling to make mistakes. You will get to the end of your life and you'll look back and you'll have regrets. And you'll wonder why I didn't go harder. Oh, because I was afraid to fail because somebody might make fun of me if I fail. Well, how ridiculous is that? Like if you say that out loud, I'm afraid to do the things that I want to do in my life because some random person who really means nothing to me might make fun of me when I'm not in a room. And I'm going to allow that to hold me back from all of my dreams, my goals, my hopes. That's insane. What we should be thinking, and something that I'm constantly like trying to get through my thick head as well, is that embrace failure, fail really fast, learn from it, and move on. And that's basically exactly like what I broke down to my daughter, because again, like natural instinct wants me to tell my daughter, you're young, it's okay, you know, it happens, it's pressure, you know, it's a blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. Like what I told her is, you know, that was a rough game. You had a rough game. She didn't get much playing time at all. And it was like, what are we going to do? What are we going to learn from this? And to her credit, like she has been, you know, trying to go to open gyms and we've been spending extra time at basketball, even though now it's out of season. Like she took that failure and now she's learning from it. And I hope she keeps that momentum. Because what I told her is that what you don't want is to have another game next season where you feel like you do after this season. It's okay that you failed. It's okay that this happened. But now we have to make the decision on how we're going to fix it. And just like with each of these examples, right? Whether it's our silly Super Bowl offer that completely bombed and we're still using Super Bowl plates 3 years later, now we can go back and say either, A, we failed at that Super Bowl offer because it wasn't good enough, or maybe that's just not a great offer, right? Like maybe coming out of Christmas and like maybe people are tired of, you know, buying these offers, like they still buy their meat, but we don't need to put together this big offer for Super Bowl, you know, put that energy toward Valentine's Day offers or, you know, other offers that we could do. But now we've been able to learn from it and be like, that didn't work. Okay. Cause we could sit there and this is what I feel like a lot of our society would do is like, oh, that's, people are just stupid. I can't believe they wouldn't buy that for me. You know, what is, you know, I can't believe more people should be buying this. You know, I can't believe it. It's all their fault, right? Like that's what we do. Our kid fails a math test. What do we want to do? Oh, this math is way too hard for my kid. No, it's like, hey, you failed the math test, child. Learn math better. Like stop failing. Get smarter, right? Work harder. All of those things. And I know you might look at this and be like, ooh, that's a very unemotional way. Well, maybe we have to start removing some emotion and start looking at results. And we have to be okay with failing. It's okay if our kids fail. In fact, like it's the hardest thing as a parent to embrace when your kids fail, but yet understanding that that is what is going to set them up for life. Because I do, again, I feel like us as parents, so many of us, we put our kids in situations to where they will succeed. And if you're only putting them into situations where they succeed, what is going to happen when they become that 25-year-old who decides to, you know, go and pursue some big job and they get rejected and they fail? Their world is crushed. That's where you get these weirdos with the blue hair on the internet, like screaming into their phone how everything's unfair, right? And it's like, well, no, it's not unfair. Like you failed and that's okay. Everybody fails. But now what are you going to do to get over it? Oh, you're going to go to social media and scream at everybody and tell us that it's, you know, all these victim mindset stuff. No, like you failed and it's okay. Awesome. Sweet. Like way to go. You did something that was big enough that you actually failed and you weren't quite equipped for it. So now what can you do to learn from that? And that is the biggest thing. Like I've made so many failures, whether it is with the podcast or whether it is with our business, like we failed over and over and over in our business, right? Like whether it's, you know, with the other companies that I work with over the years and everything else, like so many failures. But because all of those failures, I feel like it's propelled me to a point now to where I actually know a few things. And if I just continue failing enough and fast enough, I might get to the point to where I know a lot of things. Who knows? Like, that would be awesome, right? But I'm not going to get there just completely staying in my comfort zone. We have to fail over and over and over and over and over again. And then ultimately, what you'll figure out is how to stop failing so much. And then you'll get to a point to where you might actually succeed at some things. And then you might get to the point where you actually dominate. And that is where we've got to get to. But you can't go, and this again, kind of coming all the way back to the beginning with the social media funhouse distortion, is that you can't go from random person sitting on your couch to super fit person without failures along the way, right? Like, you might make 2 weeks of great progress and then you have a failure. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, this just isn't sustainable. This lifestyle just isn't sustainable. Like, I can't do this forever. And it's like, actually you can, but you failed. And so how are you going to recover from that failure? Are you going to become a victim and say that this, everything that I'm doing isn't sustainable for the long term? Or are you going to be like, you know what? I failed. That sucked. Like, the reason why I failed, and like, so oftentimes you can pinpoint these things, right? Like, maybe you were trying to get on a fitness journey and then you know, let's say you weren't drinking at all, right? Because I know if I have a few beers, I'm much more likely to not feel as good. I'm much more likely to not eat as good. I'm much more likely to make poor decisions in terms of, you know, what I'm eating and what I'm, you know, all of that. And sometimes that can spill over for a couple of days. And so it's like, okay, if I'm super duper serious about my fitness goals, I know I have to avoid any type of alcohol. I just know that. And if I fail at that, then I can say, okay, I failed because I had a few beers and then I ate really poorly. And then I woke up the next day, didn't feel real great, didn't have a lot of motivation. I ate poorly again. And now I can pinpoint where my failure was and I can fix that. I can do better not to fail again next time, right? And you can go through that with relationships, right? Like, why did my last marriage fail? Why did my last relationship fail? Oh, okay. That's why it failed. So now I can learn from that, or I can play victim and just be like, there's nobody out there for me. I'm never going to find the right person. And it's like, no, you failed and that's okay. It happens. But how do we fix that? How do we fail and fail so fast that we can correct it right away and get right back on track? And so I want to wrap it up by saying this. If you're somebody who hasn't failed at anything for a really long time, and I mean like fail to where it like hurts you, right? Where it's like, maybe it's not my daughter like fully breaking down in tears over a failure, or, you know, maybe it's not something like that. But like, when is the last time that you failed and then you actually got better? And if you're not doing that routinely in your life, I would be willing to bet almost anything you are not getting the results that you want to get. Now, again, I would challenge you to look at this honestly, not the funhouse mirror, not the social media distortion, but the honest mirror, which is, am I failing enough to learn enough to get to where I want to get to? And if the answer is yes, I promise you in like 3 to 5 years, you will be exponentially farther than if you're someone who is like, if I fail, then, you know, my family might say this, or my friends might say that, or, you know, a random person that I see twice a year might say this when I meet up with them. Man, you're going to have a lot of regrets at the end of your life. Because I even look back at 41 years old and think about regrets that I have in my 20s because I was so afraid to fail at stuff. And I was so prideful that I didn't want to admit when I failed. And that held me back from being able to pursue even bigger dreams and bigger goals. And I'm not going to allow that to happen in these next 20 years. And so I would highly encourage you, take that same mindset. Don't be afraid to fail. Go out there, fail fast, fail often, learn from it, readjust, and keep on trucking. All right, everybody, have an awesome day. Have an awesome weekend. Talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.